All right, so we're going to be doing Gimel Amud Aleph today in Avodah Zarah. We left off in the last line of Bet Amud Bet in Avodah Zarah. We were talking about how basically the non-Jews and their judgment with God sort of changed tactics at the end and said, how do you know we didn't fulfill the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach? So Gemara brought a proof from a pasuk in Chabkuk that they did not, and so the Gemara then says that God turned around after he saw even the Sheva Mitzvos that the Ummos HaOlam were not fulfilling. He was Amad V'Hitir Lehem, which as Rashi explains means that it sounds like God made them no longer bound or responsible for these mitzvos. So the Gemara says here with the last line that Itguri Itkor. So it sounds like they're getting some sort of benefit over here. Vimkein Matzinu Chote Niskar. So then this doesn't seem fair that they can be chote, they can do sins, they can do whatever they want, live immoral lives, and they benefit from it. So Gemara says Amar Mar Bered Ravina. So now we're on the top of Gimel and Aleph. Lomar Sha'afal Pi Mekaimin Osan E Mekalben Alehen Schar. No, what the Gemara is trying to communicate is that even now, if they were going ahead and live lives of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, they would not receive reward for them. Now this actually was paused here for 1 second, because this is actually a very important line. If you remember at the outset we talked about 2 days ago, is that one of the two factors in that really animates all the halachos of this mesechta is the issue of lifting iver. Because everyone in the world is bound at least by the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, if we do commerce with them, we saw 2 days ago, or other types of halachos, we're now putting a stumbling block, enabling and facilitating the violation of Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. So that's true. So now, if that's the issue, so then after this Gemara, the question is, what is the stature and the nature of the concept of lifting iver going forward for non-Jews? Is it still Doraisa? Well, the Gemara sounds like the guy went ahead, it was matur them. They're no longer bound by the Sheva Mitzvos. So that would sound like it's only rabbinic now. In fact, the Pnei Yoshua in Simin Gimel seems to think that lifting iver for a non-Jew in the current era, after this Gemara, is only rabbinic. However, both Rashi and Ritva and most post-Gim think that nevertheless, still to this day, the issue of lifting iver is still Doraisa, and the way they understand the Gemara is not to say that they're no longer bound by them, they're still bound by them, but even if they were to do them, and you think, as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to introduce this concept of Mitzuvah Va'osa and Eino Mitzuvah Va'osa. So with Rashi and Riffa, the way they reread the Gemara, meaning with the application being lifting iver still Doraisa, is that even if they're still bound, when they do it, it's as if they weren't actually Mitzuvah. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. No, it doesn't make sense. It's
are you allowed to do commerce with a non-religious Jew?
What do you mean?
Wouldn't that also be lifting iver? Say that you're like encouraging them to live the lifestyle that they're living.
But what lifestyle is that? Is that a lifestyle of a Zaro? Meaning the commerce is specifically limited to those things we were talking about. That's going to lead directly to, specifically around their holidays, of when they're going to be doing some sort of some praise to their God.
So to give this point, what about a Zoroastrian whose mom happens to be Jewish?
So Zoroastrian happens to be, so he's Jewish.
He's Jewish, like. His dad's Zoroastrian. His dad's the one who influenced all the culture in the family. But technically, he's Jewish.
Right. Well, that would be... So, I don't want to get too far afield, but here's an interesting question, because besides for lifting iver, the Gemara is actually going to talk about on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, besides lifting iver, we have an additional realm of responsibility towards our fellow Jews of not enabling them to fulfill Yisurim, actually to be actively assisting them and being poorish from Yisurim. So that would be an interesting test case of the Zoroastrian Jew, of how to do with them. But I'm saying, but the point is, in terms of commerce, it's only limited to those times where they would be leading up to their holiday, that therefore your business with them would, again, on a rabbinic, this is only a rabbinic level, the Doraisa level would just be that they're going to be doing things, the commerce involving things that they use to buy or to offer to their Avodah Zarah. Rabbinic level is any sort of commerce you're doing, as the Mishnah explained, is going to sort of make them happy. That was a whole, again, machlok is there in the Mishnah. You know, well, if you make them pay you back, is that going to make them happy or sad? You look at the moment or the bigger picture. It's only going to be leading up to the holiday. So the question would be, it's not to say encouraging the lifestyle. It's about the actual practicality of them leading up to the praising of their God. Does that at all answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, fine. So But this is actually, it's just important to know, the question is how you read this Gemara has very practical ramifications for many of the poskim through the ages. So the Gemara then says, wait a second. Vatanya, over the second line, how you Rabbi Meir Omer, minayin shafil ovei kochavim v'osik b'torah, shehu kakoin gadol. You're telling me that they don't have schar, they don't have benefit from engaging in the Shema Mitzvot. We have a proof here from Rabbi Meir, this teaching, that if someone is a pagan, if they engage in Torah, and obviously in this case, it doesn't mean Torah as in Taryag, it means the Shema Mitzvot, because as Tosus points out, Taryag, as Gemara Sarhedrin points out, is problematic for a non-Jew to do because it's our Yerusha, our Morasha, not theirs. So, but even still, this is a pretty high level to reach, a pretty high status. Tamalomar, what's the proof for Rabbi Meir? That meaning the achievement is only, it's not limited to Jews, but includes non-Jews as well, says Rabbi Meir, Asher yaseh otam hadam v'chai behem. It says in the Pasuk that you will do these things, i.e. the mitzvot, and again, relevant to the mitzvot that are relevant to each person, v'chai behem, you'll live for them. And it says Rashi, v'chai behem, meaning to olam haba, you receive reward. So the Mara then says, kohanim levim yisrael lo namar. It doesn't specify the different castes of Jews, el hadam. It says specifically, just generically, man. This teaches you, according to Rabbi Meir, that someone, even a pagan, who engages in their mitzvahs, what's expected of them, has the same status as a kohen gadol. Now you may be thinking, why are we using the kohen gadol as an example here? It's a bit random, why kohen gadol? So, first of all, kohen gadol is probably the, if you think of a hierarchy in Judaism, so a kohen gadol is at the apex of the hierarchy. He's, you know, he's the only person who's allowed to go into the kodesh kodashim, even then only once a year. But Tosfos sort of points out here in Debre Maskul Harihuka kohen gadol that the Gemara is also subtly alluding to another Gemara, Gemara in Horios, that there's a conversation of really what are the true values of Jewish society? Is it about stature or is it about scholarship? Is it about what you were born into or what you make of yourself? And the Gemara makes the comparison of someone who's a mamzer. Right, really the lowest of, so to speak, the totem pole of the hierarchy in Judaism, but they're a Talmud Chacham, and they have greater priority than someone who is a Kohen Gadol, seemingly the top of the hierarchy, but they're Eyam Ha'aretz. And so what Tosa says is that the Gemara is connecting to that, that okay, so they're not a Talmud Chacham, this non-Jew, but they're fulfilling what is expected of them, and therefore they've built something for themselves, and that's more impressive than this stature that's given by something that this Kohen Gadol is born into. So therefore, if that's the case, Rabbi Meir's proof seems to go against what the Gemara's suggestion. So the Gemara then says, you're right. El Omer Lecha, what the Gemara's trying to say is, She'im mekabim leim schar kim mitzava v'osa, el kim she'inu mitzava v'osa. You're right, they don't receive reward. They do receive reward. But they don't receive reward the same degree as someone who is commanded to do so, but rather someone who isn't commanded to do so. Of course, this is an interesting rabbinic countercultural statement that typically in our society, we assume someone who chooses to do something, and I chose to be Jewish, is more impressive than doing it because you have to do it. Here we see a different value system from the rabbis. But the point is to say is that here, as we said before, for Rashi and the Ritva, this is the proof that there's still mitzvah, there's still some sort of there's still some obligation, they're just not receiving the same type of reward. So now, just to bring in rabbinic support for this notion that someone who is bound to do something gets greater schar. One who does something out of obligation, then doing it willingly gets greater reward. So fine. So then what exactly was, we're trying to understand the non-Jew's argument over here, latid lavo, what's their argument going to be to God? So lakach omrim ha'ovi kochavim fein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what the argument was, ribono sha'olam Yisrael shekiblua hechen kimua. So now they completely changed tactics. First it was about the big mitzvot. Then it was about sheva mitzvot. Now it's not even about them. It's, oh, we think we're so bad? What about your own Jewish people? Where do you see the Jewish people not only accepting the mitzvot, but fulfilling them? So amr lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani meid behem. So God says, what do you mean? I testify to the Jewish people that they fulfill the Torah. So they say, God, not so quick. A father can't testify about their child. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, how do we know the Jewish people, how do we know that we're God's children? Bini b'chor Yisrael. God refers to us as his firstborn. So we know that a father is pasul leidos for their child. So I'm like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, fine. Okay, I can't do it. But Shemayim va'aretz yet yidu behem shekimus haTorah kula. That the heavens and the earth, they'll be the ones who testify that the Jewish people fulfill the Torah. So I'm lefana, wait, God, not so fast. Shemayim va'aretz nogim edusan. They're biased. Why are they biased? Shneamar, because you said in Yirmiyahu, Im lo barisi yomam v'layla chukos shemayim va'aretz lo samti. If I didn't create you know, heaven, night and day, day and night, then the laws of Shemayim Varetz I would not place. So what's that reference to in Yirmiyahu? So says the Gemara, Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, my dechsiv, that which it said, Vayer Vayivoker Yom HaShishi. So it says there, when it's describing creation, it says it was night, it was day, on the sixth day. And of course, what's HaShishi? What's the Heayadiyah being described over here? So it says that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Melamed Shehitna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imasa Bereishis, that God made a condition with creation. If the Jewish people accept my Torah, then great, you can continue to exist and perpetuate. If the Jewish people don't accept the Torah, I'm going to return the entire creation to the complete void and chaos. So now, if that's the case, then Shemayim Aretz are biased because they want to continue to exist. And if, of course, they're going to say the Jewish people accepted the Torah and fulfilled the Torah because it was a conditionality of their existence. So the Gemara then says, well, my dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Mishamayim hishmata din, from the heavens you heard judgment, Eretz yirah vishakta, and from the earth you heard fear and silence. So the Gemara says, im yirah lama shakta, im shakta lama yirah. If there's fear, so someone who's fearful, as Rashi explains, is not going to stay quiet. They're going to be like jabbering about, they're going to be screaming, they're going to be crying, they're not going to be silent. And if they're silent, it means they're composed, they're serene, they're not going to be fearful. So why would it seems like we're describing the Aretz in two contradictory fashions? So says the Gemara, no, we're talking about two different stages. El betchila yira l'b'sof shakta, meaning that the Aretz was before at first was afraid because coming up to Har Sinai, they're not sure, are the Jewish people going to accept the Torah or they're not going to accept the Torah? And so they're very afraid. And they're at the b'sof shakta, at the end, they were serene, they were calm because now they can continue to exist henceforth because the Jewish people accepted the Torah. So now we have 0 for 2. Because God can't give testimony to the Jewish people, and the cosmos cannot give testimony to Jewish people. So don't worry, God has an ace up his sleeve. Amen l'kadosh baruch hu, mikam yavov ye'idu b'hen Yisrael, she'yakimu es kol Torah kula. You, and who's gonna testify? You. The rest of the world, you're going to testify the Jewish people accepted the Torah and fulfilled it. And what happens? Yavon Nimrod, ve'yi b'Avraham shalavad over eskochavim. So Nimrod comes forth and says, Avraham didn't. Wasn't a pagan. Yavol Lavan v'yid v'Yaakov shalonech shal al gezel, and that Lavan comes and testifies by Yaakov that he was suspected on gezel. Tavo isha Potifar v'tiid b'Yosef, the wife of Potiphar testified by Yosef shalonech shal al avera, he wasn't to be suspected about having relations with her. Yavovu Nebuchadnezzar v'yid b'Chanan mishal v'Azaria. So then comes along Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and testifies by Hanana, Mishael, and Azariah that they didn't bow down to that statue of him. Yavodar Yavesh, v'yad b'Daniel, shalo bitel satfila, and comes along Darius, and testifies about Daniel, that he didn't nullify and get rid of tefila. And Yavo, Bildad, Hashuchi, Tzofer, Hanamati, v'lisa, lifas, hatemani, v'yidu, v'yihem Yisrael, shiakim was called Torah Kula, shneamar, going back to our pasuk, because I said at the outset, the whole discussion here is in that pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Tet. It says Yitnu Edeham Vitzdaku, that you're going to come forth and they're going to testify about the Jewish people that they kept the Torah, and the continuation of the pasuk was Bishmu V'yomru Emet, that the non-Jews, as we saw in Bedamun Aleph, the non-Jews will hear this testimony and they'll say Emet, it's true that happened. Now, if you're a Bucky in Tanakh, as many of you are, I assume that, and you see, and if you know, say for Eov. So the list here of the characters from Eov isn't actually correct. So Tosus points out that, yeah, the Gemara does it sometimes. It will quote, like, you know, certain, like, lists, but doesn't always keep them 100% in order. Okay, so until this point, what we've gotten up to is that this whole argument between the non-Jewish nations of the world trying to justify their non-observance of the Torah, even their non-observance of the Shem and Mitzvos. We talk about there is a sense that there is Tchar. We quote the Gemara that a non-Jew who studies Torah is greater than, is like a Kohen Gadol. And they tried to then change tactics and switch it around, say that the Jewish people, they never did anything, they didn't fulfill the Torah. God first tried to bring proof, and he was neutralized because he's biased. The cosmos was brought as a proof, but they were neutralized because they're biased. And finally, where does the proof come from? Where does the testimony come from? They themselves. So they're going to testify that the Jewish people not only accepted the Torah, but they fulfilled it. So then the Gemara continues and said, okay, well, God, you got us. We haven't been keeping the Torah, but we still want another chance. Come on, give us one more chance. So they say, Amr l'fanav Ribono Sholom, Tilonu Mirosh, V'nasana. Go on, give us one more chance. We'll start over again. We'll do it. We'll get our schar. Amar lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Shotim Shabbolom, you fools. Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos, Meichan Yochel B'Shabbos. So someone who works, in this case, the metaphor being, if someone who prepares and cooks their food on Erev Shabbos, you can enjoy that food on Shabbos. But if you don't do that, you can't cook on Shabbos. So too, the metaphor being, if you did the work in Olam Hazeh, you know, you followed the mitzvot, you learned Torah, you became the person you were supposed to be, so then you get the schar on Shabbos, in this case, the Yom Shekula Shabbos, which is Mashiach. But if you didn't, then you can't, once you retire, you can't start adding more statistics to your stat line. So, Ella, Afa Pichain, Mitzvah Kala Yeshli V'sukashma. God says, but you know, it's true. That's how the rules typically work. You're retired. But I have a small little mitzvah, an easy mitzvah, and it's called Sukkah. So, V'lechuva Asu Oso. So, go ahead and do it. So, the Gemara says, wait a second. Mimatz is Amr Hachi. So, how can you say such a thing that God will allow them to go ahead and violate the terms? The way the world works is you play the game, and then when you retire, you retire. It's not like you're brought back in. So we say, Gemara says, "V'ha Amr Bishua ben Levi." Bishua Levi said, "My dechsi v'ayz the Torah say, 'Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom.' I command you today, lasosam hayom lasosam today, meaning in this world when you're still playing in the game, so to speak, of life. That's when you could do mitzvos and get schar. V'lo lemachar lasosam hayom lasosam v'lo hayom li toschar. So the Gemara says, yeah, the way the game works is that we have a game of life. You do mitzvos, you get schar. You don't do mitzvos, you don't get schar. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. That's how it typically works. Ela she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba b'taronya im b'riyosav. The God doesn't like to be tyrannical. B'taronya means tyrannical. He wants to give everyone a second chance. Even those who have had millions of chances, God still gives a second, another one. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. Why do we call sukkah a mitzvah kala? V'amai kari le mitzvah kala? Why is sukkah called a mitzvah kala? Mishum deleis be chisaron kis. The reason why, says the Gemara, is because, really, you don't have to spend any money. Because typically, what could you do if you were a farmer living in Israel? So it comes along Sukkot time, it's the harvest season. You go into your field, you take some bushels over here, some bushels over there, some grapevines over there. You put it all together, you make a nice little shack, and that's your sukkah. Obviously, today, we go to whatever the store is, pay hundreds of dollars. I mean, my in-laws, they got as a gift from a client a $10,000 sukkah. It's with the wooden panels, it's amazing, it takes like a half hour to put together. So that's definitely chisaron kis. But ideally, as Torah describes, the mitzvah of sukkah, it talks about Begeren Yekev, it talks about all different leftovers, the sheaths and the bundles, that's what our sukkah is supposed to be. So really it is chisaron kis. So now, fine, so God's like, all right, we have a simple mitzvah, sukkah, what's going to happen? So everyone goes, holich v'osa sukkah barosh gago. So they go ahead and they make a sukkah on the top of their roof. So Rashi just points out why on the roofs, because apparently the way with the architecture of the time, which is, again, we're talking about in the future, even though they're talking about in the past, is that they had very flat roofs. Okay, so they made their sukkahs on their flat roofs. On a side point, many of the Mefarshim point out that this is the proof that sukkah is very much tied up in the notion of tshuva, which is why the Ramah says in the last siman of Hilchos Yom Kippur, and then it's actually the first siman again in Hilchos Sukkah, is that right after Yom Kippur, and we go out and we build our sukkah. Because sukkah is really about, the whole period of Yimei Yira, of working on ourselves, and working our relationship with God, and then comes Yimei Simcha, Yimei Ava, and the question is, how do you express that? And so very much, the notion of sukkah is bound up with the notion of tshuva, and we see that from this Gemara over here, the associations of sukkah as being another opportunity of tshuva for the Umas Olam, but for us, every single year, it's an opportunity for tshuva. So they build these sukkahs. And what does God do? Well, it has to be a little bit of a test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu magdir aleihem chama b'tkuvas tamuz. God made it super, super hot. Imagine you were in, Florida in, middle of August. Yeah, no one wants to be outside at that time of year. V'kol echa v'yechad mevay mesukaso. So each one of them goes out and they kick their sukkah on the way out. Now you'd say, wait a second. We know there's a concept called mitztayer patur min hasukkah. If you're uncomfortable, if it's completely uncomfortable for you to be in the sukkah, there's tons of bees, it's super hot, it's super rainy, so the halacha, you don't have to be in the sukkah. You're putter, you go inside, and you eat in the house. Except for the first night, there's a whole discussion, so you're trying to make kiddush in the sukkah. The point is, we have this concept of mitzvah putter min sukkah. So I understand. Why are they going to get, we're going to see in the Tirush of the Gemara, that this is going to be a big issue for them. So many of them, unfortunately, point out, because, okay, it's true, mitzvah putter min sukkah. If it's uncomfortable for you to be in the sukkah, you're putter, you're exempt, you go in the house. But you had to kick it? Right? You walk out and you say, you know, stupid stuff. You just give it a nice swift cut. What does it tell you? What does it tell you about your association with mitzvahs? It's a pretty negative one. So therefore, that's what it was coming after. It wasn't just that it was hot, they had to leave the sukkah. It was the reaction afterwards. They were mevai, they kicked the sukkah. We're going to remove our bonds to you, God. We're going to throw off from ourselves your cords. And of course, the words mososemo and avosemo are being associated with the sukkah here itself. So we're going to stop here for today at the bottom of Gimel and Aleph. But the notion that we're stopping at this cliffhanger of what's going to happen after the Jews, the non-Jews of the world, kick the sukkah on their way out.